want to read to you from the Gospel of Luke today. Luke chapter 23. You'd like to follow along. And beginning on verse 32. So as we are approaching Easter, we'll also have a Maundy Thursday service here, which basically is like a Good Friday service. And we'll have chili and soups here, serving at 5:45. And then at 6:30, we'll come back in here for worship service. And then afterwards, after about a 40-minute service here, and serving communion, we'll go back over and clean up. So we're not going to ask people to clean up till afterwards. But we also are in this time reflecting on the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and me, and his focus on you and me through this sacrifice. Luke chapter 23, and beginning here at verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. And they said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." And the soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And there was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." And the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for the people of God. Amen. This is a commercial that was on many years ago. Not a real memorable one, but I'm not even sure what they were selling. You know, commercials can be, you know, good. You don't even know what they're selling sometimes. They stated that the naked eye can see and focus and see the light from a single candle more than a mile away on a clear evening, clear night, you know, nothing in its way, that you can see the light that's emanating from a single candle over a mile away. That's impressive what our eyes can do, right? King David could look up into the stars, and he could see the many, many stars that were brightly shining that are, you know, light years away. Of course, he didn't know that at the time, but light years away, and he could say, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" You know, he could have that kind of focus because he saw that God had created this vast universe, and that we as these tiny little creatures, but made in his image and likeness, God knows you and me. He knows the very hairs upon our head and that they are numbered. How many of you know the number of hairs on the top of your head? Unless you shaved it off. I mean, you know, yeah. Yeah. For me, it used to be more. I know that. We don't even know the very number, but God so intimately knows you and me. He knows that very number. That's focus, folks. We can take a telescope right now this night and on a clear night, and we can look out and we can see a star that's burning millions of light years away, in which that light has reached our eye. At this moment was a million years ago when it first started. Trillions and trillions of miles away. And God is mindful of you and me. And all that vast universe, He knows you. Intimately knows you. That's good news, isn't it, folks? I mean, to the point that he could say to the people that were hanging him on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Wow. How many of us, if we're under great strain and pain, are thinking about someone else? A lot of times your focus becomes very inward, doesn't it? I mean, I remember when I had my gallbladder taken out about 15 years ago. All I could think is get to the hospital. I'm in a lot of pain. So I know what Amy was going through. I want some pain relief. I want this thing out. You know, whatever you got to do. I mean, we begin thinking in that way. But Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he was just focused on you and me. When he hung on the cross, he had a crown of thorns placed upon his head, a helmet of thorns, that every time he moved or shook or whatever, pierced his head even more. That pain alone, and we're not talking like little pricks, we're talking pushed into the skin of his skull. We're talking a constant pain, a throb. And of blood coming from this. It's gross. Yes, I know this. But he is intimately in pain. He's already been beaten to the point where he is not recognizable. And it says to us in Scripture that his form, his shape was not attractive. That's what would draw us to him. What draws us to Jesus is his love. He had been beaten. He had been struck with a cat of nine tails that when he hung on the cross, when he was nailed to the cross, and there, each breath brought great and immense pain just to take a breath. And Jesus did this at the appointed time of the Passover so that he would become the forever lamb sacrifice for the sins of the people. In 2012, one of the Willendas, Nick Willenda, I think it was years previous that his uncle or grandfather or somebody died at Tallulah Gorge, crossing the Tallulah Gorge. And there's video of that. You just see him falling. Well, he decided he was going to walk across on a wire that spanned the 1,800 feet across the Niagara Falls. And I want to say tight rope, but, you know, it's wire. It's about, you know, the thickness of my thumb. Y'all see that? How many of you are going to walk across the thickness of, of a wire like that, even 3 feet high, across this room? We're not going to do it, are we? Not unless we really are trained at it and know what we're doing. But he's going across Niagara Falls at night on live TV, the torrent of water, the spray of the mist coming up from the falls, and he's going to walk out across that tightrope. And he has, you know, maybe some special fitting kind of form shoes, maybe not shoes, but form to his feet so he can kind of grip with his toes and on that tightrope. And then he's got a long pole that he can walk across. And so he takes the first step and he takes the second step, and he gets about halfway out there. And I begin to think, what's he thinking? What's he thinking about right then? You know, as he sees the torrent of the waters and the lights that may be flashing, and the strength in his legs to hold his balance and to make sure he's in place. You know, I wonder if he's thinking, did I take the trash out last night? No, he's not thinking that. He's not thinking, I forgot my wife's anniversary. He's not thinking that. And I haven't done that ever, have I? Yeah. Oh, gosh. I forgot. We're nowhere around our anniversary. It's July 30th. Okay. He's not thinking about, what do I need to pick up from the grocery store this week? He's not thinking any of those things. What is he thinking about? I hope I make it. Staying on this guide wire here.
The next step.
The next step. That's all he's thinking about. He is 100% focused right there. The next step. And then the next step. Why am I saying all this? I want you to know how focused Jesus was, even more intently than Nick Walenda was on his next step on this wire. And that was also that he could accomplish what he was trying to do crossing that wire. Jesus was so focused on you and me, it was about dying on the cross. The scriptures tell us that he told Peter, I could call 12 legions of angels at any moment. 12 legions, folks, that's like 72,000 angels. 72,000 angels. That's to speak of the power of God in that moment. But you see, that would have been a temptation on Jesus. The temptation would be to look after himself rather than on you. Listen to the scriptures. Three times it's stated in this scripture. Three times. One from the rulers and those standing there. If you're the Christ, save yourself. He's hearing this all while he's taking the next breath and feeling all the immense pain and struggle. Oh, how easy it would be to find relief. Isn't that what we think when we get real bad sick? And then he hears from the soldiers mocking him. They say, you're the king of the Jews. If you are the Christ, if you are the Christ, save yourself. He hears it again. All while he's enduring this great pain and struggle. And the temptation is to focus on himself. Then he hears even from one who's on a cross with him, one of the criminals, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Trying to tell Jesus, you know, if you are really who you say you are, then why don't you take the power to take yourself down from this cross? But you see, if his focus had been on himself, he never would have gone to the cross. His focus was on you. His whole purpose was in going to the cross and saying things like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was for you and me as well. He could have called 10,000 angels. As the song says, and as the scripture says, 72,000 angels. And he could have destroyed the world. But listen to this. "Don't you fear God?" the other criminal says. "Since you are under the same sentence." We are all under the same sentence. Guilty. We are all guilty of sin and separation from God, of which the punishment is death, isn't it? Which the punishment is hell, isn't it? We are punished justly. Yes, you and I, we are punished justly. For we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. One on the cross is saved. And Jesus says, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." The other stays guilty because he does not proclaim his own sin, his own guilt. This man proclaimed his guilt and proclaimed what the power of God could do, and which was to remain on the cross, intently focused on you and me. How do we go through our week? How do we go through tomorrow? How do we go in the place that we work? Do we just say it's all about me? Do we take a selfish position and just say it's about me and my wants and my needs? What did Jesus do? He gave us the example. He gave us the example, the perfect example, of which we do not have salvation without him. And that his focus was on us. And he asked of us to place our focus on him. And all that we do. That doesn't mean we're sitting there twiddling our thumbs, you know, reclining on a cloud, so to speak. No. We're at our work. We're with our family. We're on vacation. We're wherever. But we're still constantly focused on the will of God in our lives and living it to the fullest for him. I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Those are words written by for us and recorded for us. It's the words of Jesus on the cross because he was so intently focused on you. Let us be focused on him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us this day of our many sins. Forgive us of our selfishness. Forgive us of our focus only on this world. Forgive us where we have denied sin even around us, among us, and in us. But Lord, let us focus on your will in our lives, the sacrifices that you have made, and the love that was given because of it. Lord, help us to reflect on how much you truly love us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.